and the Bull Ants well and truly with their work cut out if they're to get back into this contest in the final term. Remember, you can ask the boys a question at any stage. You can hear the SMS running hot. That little sound effect in the background. 0424 438 415 is that number. 0424 438 415. As we take a look at all the goal kickers for both sides. Three goals to Tim Hunt. He's had a sensational day at the office. Two goals to Brian. Singles each to McCarthy, Beams, Dawes, Blair and Sheehan. While for the Bull Ants, it's been a pretty bleak day for them. They've only kicked the four goals in the afternoon. Caleb Tiller leads the way with two. Morgan and Bentley, the single goal kickers. As I hand it over to the boys, Nick, Ben and Tom Brown on debut today. You mentioned the Bull Ants were outrun and outmuscled in that third term. Is there any way back for them?
I wouldn't have thought so. They're too far down, I think, Tristan. Collingwood have really run out this game quite well today. I'm open to suggestions, boys, but I don't think that's possible. What do you think?
I think you're right on the money there, Brownie. They've only kicked four goals for the match. They've kicked very inaccurately, so they need to more than double their tally if they're going to get back into this game at all.
Nick, they're creating a lot of space, Collingwood, and they're getting a lot of room up forward when they do go forward, and giving the likes of Brian and the bigger types that are in that Collingwood forward line opportunity to lead out. And the midfield are pushing up and affecting the disposal is helping Collingwood this afternoon.
Yeah, that might have been one of the criticisms of Collingwood. The forward line may have been perceived to be a bit top-heavy. But now they've shown with the McCaffers and the Dawes and the Bryans, they're all putting in tremendous second efforts, and they're putting some really good pressure on the defence coming out.
Well, Nick, just before we go down to Phil Pearce here on KC Radio 97.7 FM, we've had a few texts come through. And the first one says, the commentators should rotate more, don't you think, Ben? I don't know. I think we've rotated pretty well today. I sat out the first half. So, I don't know about that one.
I think we're very, very lucky to have Tristan and Chris just doing really good work this afternoon. I think they've both performed really, really well. But we'll always listen to our audience, so we'll have to take that into consideration.
And the next one says, I reckon that the special comments man, Nick Mingoff, is very inclusive. Can you ask him if he thinks the Collingwood players who have, if he thinks the Collingwood players who have AFL experience are contributing enough? What's the difference between the sides which will win it for the Woods?
I'm loading up my forward line with guys that can win the game. All right? Ben's going to go. Davey, we're going to drop that tag. We're not going to chase his ass. You're going to come down and crumb us a goal because you've been a goal kicker before in our time.
Go, Davey. Come on, mate.
Rigger, we're going to get a lift out of you. First option, bang, get rid of it. Vanno, I want you to play just a hard-nosed midfielder. Get the ball and kick it forward. All right? If we knock it ball forward and stoppages, they're going to have their numbers back. So let's get it, feedback, and then whack. Get it into our forward line. We've got Hart, who's kicked seven goals in as a forward. Sato down there, who's kicked bags as a forward. And we've got some crubbers. Vanno, you'll get us a goal. I've got no doubt about it. If you get your work rate up, you'll get us a goal. Paddles, Corks, you're going to kick the ball. Morgs, you're going to kick the ball with some penetration. Let's not blaze away. Let's still lower our eyes. I'll tell you what, if we hit up a couple and then we kick it in long, we're going to be great. So let's be smart with the ball. But I reckon we can really win this game. We saw what we did last week when we moved the ball, when we backed ourselves in. We're playing this area of the ground, all right? Someone leads out here, just ignore them unless they can play on. Ignore them, wheel around and kick it in here. So Tools, Hart, Sato, I need you competing in this area of the ground. If they wheel around and kick it long, I expect one of you guys to be there. Or Banner, you're big enough. Get the ball to ground and then allow our mids and our forwards to get front and centre and come the ball. We play with a bit of spirit and passion. I reckon we're a real chance. We've still got to get in and win the ball first. Tackle them if they do, but let's be smart. They're getting their numbers back, they're hitting back, and then they're getting us on the outside and they're kicking. Defenders, you've got to press up now, because any possession they get, it's going to waste the clock and they're going to move the ball, slow it down. If they get numbers behind the ball, we'll see how we're going, but we might just push them through. Jono, you might just come down and play as a forward and kick us a goal yourself. All right? Understand what we've got to do? We've come from behind before, this group of players, and we can do it again if we really want to. And let's fight it out, even if the scoreboard's not showing our way. Let's fight out the game, play for each other with some real spirits and passion, get around each other, and I promise you, if someone comes in and does a big block and we get one at the start, they're going to get nervous and we'll get it up. We'll start getting our spirit going.
Come on.
So David Teague there at three-quarter time in the address with the Bull Ants huddle.
Whenever you're ready, give us a wave. Chris, are you there, mate?
Go for it, right. Bill.
Look, I must say, guys, David Teague was very measured in that huddle. What he wants them to do is take a few risks through the corridor. And what he wants them also to do is get to the right side of the pack at every contest and make sure that they win the ball on the other hand. But I think looking at the scoreboard from my perspective, I just cannot see him beating Collingwood at the moment. So that's all from down here. Back to you, guys.
Thank you to Phil Pearce, the man with a very interesting stain on his pants today, I noticed. I hope it's not related to the events at Port Melbourne earlier this afternoon where Phil's beloved Borough got up by 49 points. 17-15, 117 to Box Hill, 10-8, 68. At Visy Park, meantime, it's the Pies by 31 at the final change.
I think it's the same stain that's been on Phil's pants the whole year. I think. Anyway.
As it is, though, they keep falling over across true centre half forward, Nick.
Chris, I've only been here 2 weeks, worked with you both weeks, and both times you've mentioned the interesting stain in his pants. Might be onto something here.
We have to with Phil. It's the only thing which gets him in.
Can the Bull Ants come back, Brownie?
It's very, very unlikely, but just in terms of an around-the-grounds update for our AFL fans. North Melbourne, 55, playing the Brisbane Lions, 74 in the third quarter. And the Western Bulldogs have done their very best work this afternoon up there at Manuka Oval. The Western Bulldogs, 97, playing Sydney, 34. So it looks like the Bulldogs will get over the line there, boys.
69 points it was at half-time, I think, in that game. So the Bulldogs, continuing on their merry way up there. That VFL SMS line, 0424-438-415 this afternoon. As it is, ready for play in the final term here at Visy Park. The crowd just milling their way off through the gates here. This crowd, which is built during the course of the afternoon. Benny, you're just itching to get in there, mate.
I want to answer some more questions from the loyal listeners out there of KC Radio. So I want a few in the last quarter.
Well, just make sure you read out those texts cleanly and concisely. Yes. Be incisive, not inclusive, Benny, is all I'd say there.
Yeah, read it a bit quickly.
As it is, players in position now. Collingwood will be kicking towards the legend stand end in this final term. Nick, if they're to win at the Bull Ants, if they're to take it from the dead, where's it going to come from?
Oh, they definitely need to move it forward a lot quicker. Like, try and isolate Cloak and Saddington one out and their direct opponents. Thulin has shown a bit of strength, but...
Some of the sharp work where you're close with your handball by kicking at him was very good.
Yeah, it was a real focus today. We just wanted to kind of do the 1-2s and get each other into space. So it's worked well, and we got the result on the scoreboard, so that's what we were looking for.
Now, the thing is, you're certainly going to have to win this game today, which you did, or else it would have made life pretty difficult as far as making the top four is concerned. How much is this win going to be considered the way things are going to make sure you get a top four spot?
Yeah, well, this is great. This has put us in a really good spot. I mean, I don't think the ladder reflected where we really were, and today's win probably does, so that was a good effort.
And how's your form been, John?
Today I only played about 50% of the game because I've been out with a hamstring, so I'm slowly getting back into it, but yeah, good.
And the hamstring's not too bad?
No, it's feeling fine now, so that's positive news.
Well done to you, John. Thanks for joining us, and good luck for the rest of the season. Now, I'm not sure who else we'll have a word with. Kevin Dyce is
so Phil Pearce
lurking around here. Might have a word with him, Chris, see if we can approach him right now. Kevin, can we... Well done, fantastic effort, my word. It was a very tough day at the office, very tricky breeze coming from the southeast, but you prevailed on the day, and that's all that mattered.
Yeah, I thought we adapted well to the conditions when we were playing into them, and it was a tough game, but thankfully we got through. I think the scoreline was a bit flattering for us, to be honest, but glad to get through.
And obviously that win has given you a lot of confidence. How does this win compare to the other wins against, say, like, for instance, of Geelong and Box Hill?
Yeah, I suppose it's just of equal standards, really. You know, the Bull Ants were in the top four, so we just wanted to beat them, and we did that.
Well done, Kevin. Well done. Tyson, can we have a quick word, mate? Congratulations. Fantastic effort. Been a bit out on the side at times, not only at senior level, but VFL level as well.
Yeah, been a bit up and down, so just trying to find some form and a bit of consistency.
And I tell you what, the use of your ball that you were using all day was terrific, especially in close with all those handballs and that, and the kicking wasn't too bad out there.
Yeah, it was good. We had before the game, our focus was on our skills and get our intensity up and just make sure we're hitting our skills, so no, it was good.
And obviously your form has not been too bad, mate?
Oh, here and there, yeah. Just got to, like I said, just try and find some consistency and get back in the ones.
And obviously that win will obviously give you a lot of confidence, especially going into next week against Port Melbourne here at Visy Park.
Well, that's it. We knew they were a top two side, so to knock them off like we did, it was credit to ourselves.
Well done, Tyson. Fantastic to catch up with you here on KC Radio. And, Chris, we'll get Gavin Brown after the song, and we'll bring him out as soon as possible. Back to you, mate.
Beautiful stuff there, Phil Pearce, down at ground level with all the interviews. Correct weight has been given too on the scores by the goal umpires. So the final margin here is 50 points. Collingwood, 16 goals, 8-104. To the Northern Bullands, 7 goals, 12-54. Those goal kickers for Collingwood, 3 each to Hunt and Dawes. 2 to Beams, to Bryan, and to Frost. Singles the rest of the way to McCaffer, Blair, Sheehan and McCarthy. While for the Northern Bullands, it was 2 goals to Caleb Tiller, both in the first half. Singles to Morgan, Hartler, to Meese, Bentley and Ellard. VFL SMS talk line, 0424 438 415. That's 0424 438 415. Come on, Pies fans, or maybe some disgruntled Bullants or Blues fans, send in your SMSs and we'll get the boys to discuss them during the post-match.
I need to give some more answers. I'm looking forward to all the listeners out there writing in. It was good to hear Kevin Dyce talk. It's one of the first interviews I've ever heard him give, and he'll remember that one for a while with Phil Tiger Pearce down at ground level. Well, it was sensational to listen to Kevin. A good win to the Magpies, Chris. They really deserved their win.
Now we can go down to the rooms. We can hear starting to come through the microphones now, although it is crackling up just a little bit as the Pies players get into position for a rendition of good old Collingwood forever. They go to 4-3 this afternoon with a win over the high place Northern Bullands, who slip 2-5-2. An impressive display. Just waiting for the players. Unfortunately, not having a camera means we can't actually tell the exact moment when the singing starts. The other winner this afternoon was Port Melbourne by 49 points. 17 goals, 15-117. To Box Hill, 10 goals, 8-68. Tristan Fernanda has moved out of position from the commentary box for just a second. Allows Tom Brown in. We'll get Tom's thoughts along with Nick's thoughts in just a second. Still waiting for Phil as the song is coming through now. Perhaps not the smoothest rendition of a song which has been around for more than a century there of good old Collingwood Forever, but while we wait for Phil Pearce to be joined by Gavin Brown, it's time for Tom Brown to give us his thoughts on Collingwood and where they won the game this afternoon.
They won the game in relation to how hard their attack was on the ball and how prepared they were to move it through the corridor, and they really benefited from having some fairly dominant forwards. Dawes, of course, kicking 3 goals, 1. Bryan kicking 3 goals, 1. And Hunt also kicking in for 3 goals. So they really had a better structured forward line. I think that's where they won the game this afternoon. Of course, they kicked 4 goals in the second quarter and 4 goals in the third quarter. Of course, they finished off with 6. So they played fairly well this afternoon, Collingwood. I think Gavin Brown would be very impressed with their performance.
Yeah, no, it was very good, Brownie, very good. Chris Dawes was a lot better this afternoon. But then, Chris, we saw in the last quarter, Dawsey was just start to play from behind, which wasn't good. He's a big, strong, marking young man. He's got to be in the front.
Particularly against David Boundy, an opponent who is two or three inches shorter than he is as well. A couple of bad habits creeping back in.
Yeah, I think in some respects, Brian was probably a more convincing case for senior selection today than was Dawes. Dawes' disposal still worries me slightly. He's not unbelievably convincing from about 50 out, which you'd like to see in an AFL player. Incidentally, I thought Bannister's disposal was quite good, say, for Northern Bullants. But back onto Collingwood, I thought they played quite well.
How far away is someone like Chris Bryan from getting another opportunity? They've obviously got Fraser up in the seniors, but they've opted with Cameron Wood ahead of Chris Bryan, when you would think Chris Bryan's the one in all the form at the moment. He's kicking all the goals and standing up. Interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the next few weeks in terms of how Mick Malthouse wants to structure their forward line going into the second half of the season.
I would have thought that Chris Bryan is the better kick and the more strong player overhead there for Collingwood, but he's perhaps, because of his height as much as anything else, better suited towards true centre half forward, I would have thought.
Yeah, I agree with that, and he's a little bit slow for AFL as well in some respects, so I think that that's probably his limitation at this stage of where he's at, I'd say.
Some of the Collingwood better players this afternoon, Chris, obviously Tim Hunt, and of course Jackson Barham through that midfield, sensational today.
When is it likely that Jackson Barham will get his next game, boys?
Well, he played a couple of weeks ago, and just they put him out of the side a week or so ago, so he won't be too far away. I guess with Mick, I've said it before here on KC Radio, it's all about matchups, and Collingwood will pick a side based on the opposition. So really, that's why Tyson Goldsack's not playing tomorrow. Number of reasons.
See much of Goldsack, did we, today?
No, he's a bit quiet. Corey, he's an interesting story. Yeah. Obviously, he's come down from the Brisbane Lions. He was playing quite good football for a while, and then today he showed glimpses. Mm. He moves quite well when he wants to move quite well. I know it's a little bit harsh to say that, but he's not always convincing, unfortunately.
Well, he did make his debut at AFL level in round 6 against North Melbourne. Man, Chris, we were at that game. What did you think of Corey that night and today at VFL? He gets to the contest, and he's got plenty of pace when he does get it, and his disposal's not bad. Some of his decision-making.
VFL football's all about contested footy a lot of the time. The skill level goes down slightly, the pace of the game goes down slightly, and consequently heavier bodies are needed around stoppages. And if you don't have a heavy body, you've just got to be able to wear the hits, get in there, win the footy yourself, lay the tackles when they're required. Anthony Corrie, who likes to run free of opponents, isn't really great at second or third efforts at contests. He gets shown up a bit at this standard. It's good for AFL footy, conversely, but not for this standard.
I think there's one catch with that, Chris. Because of the emphasis now on disposal in the very free-running AFL, unfortunately, Corrie's disposal isn't probably where it needs to be at to take up that role in terms of just running off the play. And if he could improve that, which will be difficult at this stage of his career, I think he'd be better placed.
And I think that goes to quite a few on Collingwood's list who are caught between the two levels. Shannon Cox, I know, who was playing at AFL level this year, is another one that possibly the same thing could be said about him. Look down Collingwood's list as well. Alan Tuvey, another one. Ben Reid at times can be in that position.
Well, Cox is really to provide some run, and again, Cox's disposal is not good, but he's quite a heavy body, and I actually like seeing him on the senior list and playing that particular position.
Well, he's good at list level, funnily enough, because he's able to take the solid bodies on. The Bull Ants, meantime, disappointing afternoon for them. They weren't really in the game at all, were they? They didn't sort of... we've got Nick Mingus back here. Nick, the Bull Ants, they weren't really dedicated, I guess, to the stoppage a lot of the time.
Well, I actually made the call before the game that the Bull Ants were going to be stronger in the clinches with the likes of Hadley, Bentley and Greig, but it turned out Collingwood were just more desperate. They wanted it more. And they really set the tone early. I think there were about 5 or 6 stoppages in the first quarter from the first passage of play, the first bounce down.
Nick,
and they were all Collingwood tackles. They were all Collingwood tackles, and every tackle brought the player to ground with a thud. And that just set the tone.
Nick, David Boundy impressed me today. Where's he at in terms of his footy career?
Well, he's a vice captain, of course, for the Bull Ants, and he's got tremendous leadership qualities, and he can play either end. But today I just think he was led to the ball a bit when he was in defence, and when he was up forward, maybe he just wasn't working hard enough.
He's got quite a tough body, though.
Are you ready,
Gavin? Very big
VFL veteran, turns 27 during the week. That's a real veteran at this competition. Gavin Brown is down at ground level now with Phil Pearce, and when I see Phil eventually come around, no doubt we'll hear him interviewing the Collingwood VFL coach. Collingwood, though, victors this afternoon by 50 points, 16 goals, 8, 104, to the Northern Bull Ants, 7 goals, 12, 54. It's one of the problems of working with Phil, is you hear a voice and you think you're safe to cross down, but he's not quite in position. Where in the world is Phil Pearce at the moment? Ben Taylor.
Yeah, look, the Bull Ants today, they were disappointed. The second place on the VFL, third place on the VFL ladder, they really would have come into this game very, very confident. Carlton having a win last night, spirits would have been high. They lost a few back to the Carlton side last night, but you really thought, Tristan said it before the game, that they just had a bit more settled lineup.
They didn't change enough for mine, I don't think. When things weren't going their way, they weren't prepared to switch things around, to shift Saddington to the other end of the field, to get Iacobucci into the midfield, to get Gianfagna into the stoppages at the centre bounces. All these sort of moves they could have made, and yet they always sat back a bit, I thought.
I think that's where you can give a lot of credit to Gavin Brown. He was a lot more proactive with his moves as opposed to reactive, and that's a big thing for coaches. If they can make the move which sets the tone before the opposition does, then that just enables them to get ahead in certain tactical areas of the game. One other player who really impressed me today was Tobias Thulin, the young kid from Queensland. He was touted as a bit of a ruck prospect, but doesn't seem quite tall enough. That went back today on Cameron Cloak. Cameron Cloak goalless, and maybe two or three marks the whole game, and even when he was swung into the ruck.
He's a very tall man, is Tobias Thulin, but very versatile and uses the footy well, and creates a contest. And,
quite an athlete as well.
And runs hard. So.
And I noticed a few times he was running off Cloak, and Cloak couldn't go with him at all. He was running right up to sort of centre line and trying to get forward and really create play as well. So he's got both sides to his game.
He's 196 centimetres. So, I mean, he's a pretty tall young man. And pretty strongly built is Tobias Thulin.
That's 6'5", so matching Cameron Cloak in the height scales there. Phil's just down at ground level. Nick, where's Cameron Cloak at briefly?
Well, a couple of, it doesn't seem so long ago now, about round two or three, people were saying Cameron Cloak was better than Travis, despite Travis having the potential. But it seems since he's got dropped, he hasn't been able to recapture his form. I'm not sure what sort of the problem is, if it's with his attitude or his application, because he doesn't seem to want the ball enough.
Well, tell us, all the listeners out there, tell us what you think with the SMS line, Chris. The number is for that?
0424-438-415. That's 0424-438-415. We go off here at 5 o'clock, so boys, get your messages in, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll get the special comments people to ask the flotilla that we've got up here this afternoon.
We've got a few, and it's a pleasure to to share all the workload this afternoon with Nick and Tom and everyone, and it's great. The more the merrier here on KC Radio.
Indeed. Cameron Cloak, we mentioned last week, of course, that he was injured in the first contest of the day. He turned an ankle, but he was declared fit enough to play this afternoon, so it doesn't sort of explain away all of the fact that he lacked fire in the contest.
Yeah, well, Teague did say, actually, that he may have been fit enough to come back on last week if the situation required, so maybe if they were being challenged, but where it would be...
Won't be long, boys.
Thanks, Phil.
Could have came back on, but it seemed that he wasn't intelligent today. He didn't seem to lead into the right spots.
Yeah.
And even when he did, he always seemed to be that yard slow, and Thulin was always able to get a fist in or get the body contact and push him under the ball.
Nick Meese was okay today.
He had to shoulder the number one ruck duties, of course, today in the absence of Big Satanta.
Well, our listener said before, no Holpland, no Bullant. So is that a fair comment?
Yep, I think that could be a reasonable comment, although Meese was very admirable today. Another one I'd also like to say, Brad Fisher.
Cameron Cloak has been playing at AFL level for a number of years now, and he's been playing at VFL level for the same amount of time. Should have been a little bit better this afternoon.
It's a big ask for Nick Meese as a VFL standalone player, 20 years old, to be doing the bulk of the ruck work all afternoon.
Definitely.
It was only at the start of final term we saw Cameron Cloak thrown into the centre. He didn't do much around the ground. He didn't present hard with a solid body. There's a lot more which could have been asked of him today.
And he's one of those players that when he hits someone, they stay hit. He wasn't throwing his weight around. Especially the start of the last quarter, you'd think if the Bullants were going to get back into the contest, and they were within reach, they were about 5.5 goals down, he needed to make a statement straight away.
You compare how hard Chris Bryan was really hitting those packs all day long. Didn't matter whether he was playing in ruck or starting out from the goal screen, hitting up leads from teammates. He was always attacking the ball hard, had a physical presence. It was intimidating. It would be intimidating for a defender there. We didn't see the same from Cameron Cloak.
I did say in the pre-game that Brian's been really good with his chipping in around the ground, and if he was to get another bag today, he would have had to have gotten support from Lachlan Keefe. And Lachlan Keefe did that today. He rucked for about, I'd say, 60% of the contest.
And Tom,
And that enabled Brian to stay forward for long periods of the game, and it caused a lot of problems. He took a number of strong marks, like a number of strong tackles. Another one whose effort can't go unrewarded before is Jackson Barham. I thought he started off a bit slow, Jackson, but he came into the game, and it seemed with every more disposal, he became more and more confident in his ability.
He's got good awareness around the footy, and he runs hard too.
Sorry, Tom, I'll just turn you on there. Would it help? Talking about Jackson Palmer.
I think down at ground level with Gavin Brown, guys. I just heard Phil say, can I have your attention?
In the meantime, though, yep, Tom? Sorry, talking about Jordan.
Look, Geordie, John Bannister, as Brownie was saying, where's he at the moment? I think that as we...
Whenever you're ready, Chris, we've got Gavin Brown down here. Thanks very much, guys. Right, we've got Gavin Brown here. He's got a sandwich full of mustard sauce and hot dog. And I must say, what can I say to you, Gavin? That was a first-class performance by your guys, the way they really attacked the ball. And I thought your handballing close and your shepherding and the blocking and the kicking skills were pretty good.
Oh, yeah, we were really pleased with the performance today. You know, their effort and attitude was just first class. They really adhered to the game structures and plan. And as I said, yeah, I think most players can hold their head up pretty high.
Now, it's obviously it was a very important win for you because at the moment, because if you'd lost that game, you would have been two games away as far as making the top four spot. But that win is obviously going to give you a lot of confidence. How does that win rate up against the sides against, like, beating Geelong and also Box Hill?
Oh, look, I think Box Hill was probably our best game and probably our best win. But today was probably next. I think it was our next best performance, which was really pleasing because, as I said, the boys really, their effort and attitude was just first class all day. They really listened to instruction, which was really pleasing, and obviously the natural abilities there. So, we were really pleased.
And who are your best players from your coaching perspective? Obviously, all 22 contributed.
Yeah, they did. Well, for the most part, everyone was pretty good. I think a couple of the standouts were probably little Jared Blair and Timmy Hunt. You know, Dorsey kicked three important goals. It was pretty solid. I think they were the two that stood out. You know, Beamsy was really solid, though. Yeah, Jackson Barham was good. So, yeah, most of the boys were pretty good.
Now, next week you've got Port Melbourne here at Visy Park again, another home game, and their form's a bit dilly-dallied and a bit shilly-shallied at times, and they won today. And then you've got Werribee at Chirnside Park, and then you've got North Ballarat, if my memory serves me correctly, at Eureka Stadium.
Yeah, that's right. So a couple of hard games coming up. There's no doubt about that. So it'll be a real test for us, but that's what we're about. That's what we want. We want to be tested by the best, and so we look forward to particularly next week to start with.
Well, Gavin, it's always good pleasure to come up and chat with the Collingwood legend of your calibre. It's always good to chat with you here on KC Radio. And may I just say good luck for the rest of the season, and who knows, a top four spot will be up for grabs, and we wish you all the best, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gavin. Back to you, Chris.
Taylor here, and thank you, Phil Pearce, down at ground level with Gavin Brown, the victorious Collingwood coach this afternoon. Boys, as we continue our summation of the game, our post-game, guys, send those SMSs through. Chris gave the number out before. We go off here at 5 o'clock. We want to hear your thoughts. Tom, where do the Bullions go from here? Next week, I'll just put this one down, try and put it under the blanket and move on to next week.
Yeah, they'll have to. They didn't play very well today. They didn't move the ball very well. They weren't very positive. They've got a few players that have particularly good disposal, such as Jordan Bannister, and they need to back themselves. They've obviously got themselves into this position thus far this season because they have been playing good football, but they'll have to put today behind them. And look, they have got a bit of an excuse, the likes of Dawes and Bryan. They're of an AFL calibre, and they'll just have to basically accept it and move on.
I'm going to have to just quickly point something out. The Bullets did have 13 AFL-listed players out on the ground this afternoon.
They had the quality, definitely.
And they're sitting third on the VFL ladder, so they're doing very, very well at the moment.
Now, we would like some more SMSs, though, perhaps from our Collingwood fans in terms of who you think should be elevated to the senior lineup, or alternatively from the Bullants fans.
Where are we going to ring the changes? How are they going to improve next week? Because we know their best is very good. They'd only lost one match for the year prior to this, so they're a damn good football side. Where did it go wrong today, boys? I think the forward structure without Brad Fisher.
Yep.
Brad Fisher, he's not necessarily a full forward or a centre-half forward, but he's that third marking tall, and he can lead up the ground. It's very athletic.
And Houlihan is a finisher again, another one who was missing this week. He was very good last week.
Back up to the seniors, of course, yep. Ryan Houlihan. I thought he was very quiet last week against Werribee. I thought he was very lucky, as well as Jeff Garlett, to get a gig in the Carlton senior side.
Now, Nick, let's not muck around. Let's hear from you who you thought was Collingwood and the Northern Bullouts' best respective players today.
Well, for Collingwood, you'd have to go with Hunt. I thought he kicked three goals, provided a tremendous amount of drive, and was very, very skillful when he got the ball. Jackson Barham and Dane Beams, two of the youngsters that had to be good today, and they were. They both found a lot of the ball, and generally when they did get it, they used it very smartly.
And for the Bullants?
For the Bullants, I think Joe Anderson was very good early, quite physical, and generally used it pretty well. Chris Johnson got a bit of it, started to butcher it a bit. I think with the Bullets, they didn't move the ball enough.
Okay, now we don't have the drum roll effects, unfortunately, Nick, on the KC radio, but we will ask Chris to kick in there with his best players for both respective teams.
Well, in fact, I'm not going to make much of a change from that. I just want to go back to Tim Hunt and re-emphasise a point as much as anything else. Geez, he runs hard. He ran hard front and square for so many handball options this afternoon for Collingwood. His foot skills, he delivered it low and hard inside forward 50. For a guy who's a standalone player, he's not on an AFL list, he absolutely made the most of his opportunity this afternoon to show off.
Definitely.
He finished.
Now, we've only got about 3 minutes to go in the broadcast, boys, so we'll wrap things up. As they stand after two matches on Saturday of round 8 of the VFL, at Port Melbourne today, as you heard, it was Port Melbourne, 17 goals, 15, 117. They defeated Box Hill, 10 goals, 8, 68. Despite leading by just 4 points at half-time, Port Melbourne ran out with it in the second half at home to win their 16th game at home since the 2007 finals series. While today here at Visy Park, it was Collingwood in a surprise, perhaps, for a lot of people. 50-point winners over Northern Bullants, 16 goals, 8, 104. They defeated the Bullants, 7 goals, 12. 54. Tomorrow, four games on the agenda. Sandringham versus the Bendigo Bombers. Casey Scorpions versus Geelong. Williamstown versus North Ballarat will be a cracker out at Burbank Oval. But just as good, if not better, if only because we're covering it, is Casey Radio's game. The Coburg Tigers up against Werribee at the Coburg City Oval, the ABD Group Stadium. Coverage starting at 1 p.m. Boys, thank you very much for your efforts this afternoon. We'll start off with a debutant who's done so much good work. Tom Brown, thank you very much.
It was terrific to be here. It was a really good game to watch. It was good, tough, in and under football. We like watching that, and we obviously look forward to tomorrow's good lineup of football as well.
Yeah, it was a good afternoon, wasn't it? We got a good crowd in as well.
Yeah, it was good. It's a really nice atmosphere. It's good to see the people out there on the ground kicking after the match. Good old-fashioned football, that, and it was quite an entertaining game as well, despite the fact that Collingwood ran out victors by 50 points.
Nick Mingos, a wonderful effort again by you, incisive and inclusive, I'll say both for you this afternoon.
What exactly was I including?
Including everybody else in your comments, which were very much on the mark, and a very good analytical afternoon from you, mate.
Yeah, it was a very very physical contest. I thought in the clinches that's where the game was won. Collingwood was slightly more physical, wanted it a bit more, and that's where the game was won, because the skills from both sides were a little bit scrappy at times. So I thought whoever won the clearances would win the contest. And Collingwood, credit to them. Beams, Barham, all those guys just kept going all day, kept running. And the likes of Hunt with the finishes, and they were just too good. Credit to Collingwood.
Fabulous, Phil.
Yeah, good win by Collingwood. And unfortunately, my tipping didn't go well today, but hopefully...